Amen. You may be seated. Now, as the Apostle Paul writes this letter to the Philippian church, Paul himself is now an old man, and he's in a prison cell in the city of Rome. Now, he's not in prison for any wrongdoing in his part, but rather he is there because of his faithfulness to the gospel and to his Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ. Soon indeed, yes, he will be martyred for his faith and for his love for the Lord. Yet in the midst of such difficult circumstances, Paul writes this letter, a letter really of tremendous encouragement to God's people in the church at Philippi. In this final chapter 4 here of Philippians, he tells these people, these believers, he tells them to be steadfast in the things of God. Look at his final statement there at verse 1 of Philippians 4. He says, stand fast in the Lord. In other words, don't be moved away from the things of God and the gospel. He tells them also to be united and to be of one accord. Verse 2, he says, I beseech Euodias and beseech Sutinthe that they be of the same mind in the Lord. As believers, no doubt, from different backgrounds, and indeed believers with different personalities, yet they were to work together, united as one, in accord and agreement for the work of God's sake and for the glory of Christ. He tells them also here to help their fellow believers in the Lord. Look at verse 3. He says, I entreat thee also, true yoke fellow, help those women which labored with me in the gospel, with Clement also, and with other my fellow laborers, whose names are in the book of life. And they were to go out of their way, to go the second mile, so to speak, to help their fellow Christians and believers in the Lord. He tells them also to rejoice in the Lord at all times. Look at verse 4. He says, rejoice in the Lord always. They were to be joyful in Christ. He tells them also to exercise restraint and moderation in all matters of life, because the Lord was near them and the Lord is coming back again. Look at verse 5. He says, let your moderation, that really means restraint, be known unto all men that the Lord is at hand. And he goes on. He instructs them to be prayerful. Verse 6, he says, be careful for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God. He tells them also to allow the peace of God to protect their hearts and minds. Look at verse 7. He says, and the peace of God, which passeth all understanding, shall garrison, or if you like, keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. He also seeks to encourage them to live holy lives, lives that were pure and unspotted with the things of this world. Look at what he says in verse 8 of the chapter. He says, finally, brethren, whatsoever things are true, whatsoever things are honest, whatsoever things are just, whatsoever things are pure, whatsoever things are lovely, whatsoever things are of good report, if there be any virtue and if there be any praise, think on these things. He says, allow these things, godly things, good things, fill your heart and mind, that your life might be different from the ungodly around you. And then he goes on, he seeks to encourage them to live a contented life. And he does this by setting before them his own example. Look at what he says to them in verse 11 of the chapter. He says, not that I speak in respect of want, for I have learned in whatsoever state I am therewith to be content. And there you see that God, that contentment did not come automatically for Paul. He says, I have learned in whatsoever state I am therewith to be content. And as God's people, we are to learn to be content with God's providence for our lives. Indeed, the Bible says that godliness with contentment is great gain. It's a great blessing for the Christian to be contented with their lot in life. Then he goes on and he tells these Christians as well to rest upon God's power in their lives. And again, he sets before them his own example in this. Look at verse 13 of the chapter. He says, I can do all things through Christ, which strengtheneth me. Paul had no strength of his own, but he rested upon the strength of the Lord. And dear people, it is by us resting upon the Lord's strength that we can live for God. And it is better to be weak and to rest upon the strength of God than to rest upon our strength and to lose the help and the blessing of God. And then whenever we come to the words of our text, verse number 19, you see here how he inspires these Christians also to depend upon God's provision. He says, "But my God shall supply all your need according to his riches and glory by Christ Jesus." And with such counsel here, he tells this church in Philippi to rest upon God's provision. And no doubt by this counsel, they were to be greatly comforted and greatly encouraged in their Christian life and in their ministry for God. And people, can I say to each one in the gathering today that this promise here of God's provision really has been a tremendous blessing, not just to Paul and not just to the Christians in Philippi in his day, but it has been a tremendous blessing to multitudes, to countless multitudes of believers down throughout the ages of time. Yes, there have been numerous Christians and they have rested upon this great promise. They have rejoiced in it and they have known and experienced the very fulfillment of it in their lives and circumstances day by day as the people of God. People, it is indeed the same great promise of God's abundant provision that I want us to look at and think about for a while in our service of worship here today. Yes, it is indeed God's will for each and every one of us, for you and I who are saved in this meeting. It is God's will for each one of us to rejoice in God's provision. And not only to rejoice in it, but to depend upon it and to prove that provision in our lives and in our circumstances as the people of the Lord. That being then the case, there are three things I want to share with you regarding this promise of God's abundant provision. Notice first of all here the people to whom this promise is given. The people to whom this promise is given. You look at what Paul says there in Philippians 4 verse 19. He says, "But my God shall supply all your need." Underlying that word there, "your," that little phrase there, "your need." Note that word "your" there, and there we see that Paul here was addressing a certain group of people, a particular group of people. And that leads you and I to ask the question, who were this people? What were this people like? What concerned them in life? Who were they? Well, the Bible tells us who they were and tells us something what they were like. If you go back to chapter 1 and the verse number 1 of this letter, you'll see there that they are described, it says, as all the saints in Christ Jesus which are at Philippi. Here was the promise for the saints of God in the church at Philippi. Look again at Philippians 4 and the verse number 3, the latter end of that verse. You'll see here are people also, we are told, it says, whose names, it says, are in the book of life. That tells you something about this people to whom this promise was given. They were the saints in Christ Jesus. They were those whose names were in the book of life. In other words, such were those who were born again of God the Holy Spirit. Such were those who had repented of their sins. Such were those who were saved by God's grace through faith in Christ alone as their Savior. This was this people to whom Paul penned this promise. The saints in Christ Jesus, those whose names are in the book of life. Dear friend, in our meeting this morning, let me ask you the question, is that a picture of you in this gathering, in this service today? Tell me, are you saved today? Are you born again? Are you converted to Christ? Have you repented of your sins? Are you trusting in Christ alone for salvation? Are you resting upon his sacrifice, upon the blood of the cross for the cleansing, the covering, the blotting out of all your sins before God? Tell me today, as God looks down, does he see you as a saint of God? As God looks down upon you and looks into your heart, Does he say, yes, that person's name is written down in the Lamb's Book of Life? Oh, are you saved today? Are you a saint of God? Is your name in the Lamb's Book of Life? Friend, understand this, that if your sins are to be all forgiven by God, if you are to be at peace with God, if you are to have the fetters of sin broken in your life, if you are to be saved from hell and sure of heaven, then now in time you must repent of your sin. Now in time you must put your faith and trust in Christ alone for your salvation. You see, the Bible says, repent ye therefore and believe the gospel. You must repent of your sin and put your faith and trust in Christ alone as Savior if you are to be saved. The Bible says, for by grace are you saved through faith. Not none of yourselves, it is the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. I would say to you today, man, woman, young person, boy or girl in this meeting, if you are still not saved, I would urge you now, today, this very moment in time, to come to Christ by faith, to trust him and to call upon him to be your own and personal Savior. The Bible says, behold, now is the accepted time. Behold, now is the day of salvation. The Lord says, come now. And let us reason together, saith the Lord. Though your sins be as scarlet, they shall be as white as snow. Though they be red like crimson, they shall be as wool. Do not leave your salvation till tomorrow. Do not leave it till next week or next Sunday or next month, whatever. For you and I are not guaranteed tomorrow. The Bible says, boast not thyself of tomorrow, for thou knowest not what a day may bring forth. Friend, unsaved, the Lord calls you now, today, this very moment, to come to Christ, to get right with God, to be saved, to become a saint of God, to be able to rejoice that your name is written in the Lamb's Book of Life. Oh, don't leave the meeting today without salvation, without being saved. But as well as being saved, these Philippian believers were also a people who had put the Lord and his work first in their life. They were a people who had shown great support and great help to the Apostle Paul in all his labors for Christ and for the gospel. Look at what he says about them in verses 14 to 18 there to Philippians chapter 4. He speaks about them in this matter. He says, notwithstanding, ye have well done that ye did communicate with my affliction. The word communicate means to give, to help. Now ye Philippians know also that in the beginning of the gospel, when I departed from Macedonia, no church communicated with me as concerning giving and receiving, but ye only. For even in Thessalonica ye sent once and again unto my necessity, not because I desire a gift, but I desire fruit that may abound to your account. But I have all, and abound, I am full, having received of Epaphroditus the things which are sent from you, an odor of a sweet smell, a sacrifice acceptable, well-pleasing to God. And here you see we're a people who had sacrificed much and given much to the work of God, to the cause of Christ and the gospel. And their support here for Paul and the work of God was such that Paul there at the end of verse 18, he describes it as a sacrifice that was sweet smelling, if you like, a sacrifice that was well pleasing unto God. Here were a people who put God first in their life. These saints in Philippi, these people whose names were in the Book of Life, they put God first, and the work of God, the cause of Christ, was first and foremost in their life. Oh, brethren and sisters in Christ in the meeting this day, let us say to you today, yes, by God's grace, here's an example for you and I also to follow. Follow the example here of these believers in Philippi in their giving and their support to the gospel, to the work of God. Let us not hold back as Christians in our support for God's work. Let us not hold back in our giving to God's work. Let us be those who put God's work first. Let us support God's work at home and abroad in whatever way we can as the people of God. Oh, believer in Christ, can I say yes? The will of God, the work of God is to have first place in our lives as Christians, day by day. And when God is first in our lives, and the things of God are first in our lives as Christians, then we shall know and we shall see the Lord meeting our needs day by day. That's a fundamental principle of Scripture. Turn with me back, please, to Matthew's Gospel, chapter number 6. Matthew's Gospel, chapter 6, and look at verse number 33. A very well-known verse of Scripture. The Lord here is speaking to his disciples, those who were saved, those who were called, those who were seeking to serve him and live for him. And he says to them, verse 33 of Matthew 6, "But seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you." They were concerned about their needs. The Lord says, put ye first the kingdom of God. Have God's kingdom first in your life. Give it priority. Give it place. And the Lord will take care of your needs. The Lord will undertake. And that's a promise not just for the 12 apostles, but for every Christian. For you and I who are saved by the grace of God in this meeting today, when we're saved, we are to put the Lord first in our lives. The hymn writer says, "Go true with God, thy vows to pay, thy life upon the altar lay, the Holy Ghost will do the rest and bring to thee God's very best." Yes, indeed, it has been said that all heaven is waiting to help those who will discover the will of God and do it. Yes, the people to whom this promise is given. But notice, secondly here, notice the abundance of this promise. Look again at what is said there in Philippians 4, verse 19. Paul says, "But my God shall supply all your need." He says, "shall supply all your need." Notice that word supply there. It really means to fill to the full. Paul here was telling these Philippian Christians that God would meet their needs fully and indeed completely. And my the Lord will do the same for each and every one of us who are saved when we put him first and foremost in our lives. You think of how the Lord filled the water pots at the wedding of Cana with wine to those that obeyed his commands, his instructions at that particular time. The pots were filled full. And likewise, the Lord will fully supply and meet our needs completely when we obey the Lord as his people and when we put him first. The Bible says, "God who giveth us," it says, "richly all things to enjoy." You notice that little word "all" there that Paul uses in our verse. He says, "God shall supply all your need." That means all our needs, whatever they are. God can meet all our needs, dear people. He can meet our temporal needs. He can meet our physical needs. The Bible speaks of the Lord and says, "In him we live and move and have our being." It says, "As thy day, so shall thy strength be." And even when we're old, the Bible says, and the Lord is speaking, "And even to your old age, I am he, I will carry you, I will bear." The Lord strengthens his people physically. He meets our temporal needs. And he also meets our spiritual needs. He says, "My grace is sufficient for thee." Grace sufficient. Paul, writing to the church at Ephesus, could say, "Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who have blessed us with all spiritual blessings and heavenly places in Christ Jesus." Child of God, in all the battles and all the trials of life, God can meet your every spiritual need day by day as a Christian, as you seek to live for God and seek to serve Christ. He can give you wisdom, give you guidance, give you comfort, grant you his peace, grant you his succor, grant you his grace. He affords you his presence. He says, "My presence shall go with thee, and I will give thee rest." See, yes, the abundance of this provision. It was Matthew Henry, the Bible commentator, who said, "We cannot look for too much from God the Creator." And child of God, you and I can never look for too much from God and from our Savior and from God our Father in heaven. However, it's important here to emphasize that in our text here, Paul says all your need. He does not say all your greed. It goes without saying, yes, that every wise and loving parent will withhold from their children things that are not for their good. And likewise, our Heavenly Father, who is all wise, all knowing, who is all good, He will not give us anything that is detrimental. He will not give us anything that is not for our good. Child of God, take heart today from this promise and from the abundance of this promise and this provision. Whatever your need is today as a Christian, whatever your need is perhaps this week, indeed, maybe this month or later on in this year, praise God, believer, when you put the Lord first, you can pray and you can ask the Lord to meet that need. The Bible says the effectual, fervent prayer of a righteous man availeth much. Turn with me your Bible back to Mark's Gospel, chapter number 11. Mark's Gospel, chapter number 11. And look at what Christ says there in verse 24 of Mark's Gospel, chapter 11, encouraging us to bring our needs to Him in prayer. He says, "Therefore I say unto you," Mark 11, verse 24, "what things soever ye desire, when ye pray, believe that ye receive them, and ye shall have them." Is there a need pressing upon your soul today, Christian? Pray about that need. Bring it to the Lord in prayer. Ask the Lord for His help. Ask the Lord for His provision. Ask the Lord for His guidance. Ask the Lord for His blessing and meeting that need. And by the Lord's promise and His word is, "Them that honor me, I will honor them." It brings honor to the Lord, brings great honor to the Lord, great delight to the Lord for His people to come to Him in prayer and faith, and to bring their needs, their cares to the Lord and ask for the Lord's help and blessing in their time of need. In one particular occasion, George Muir, the evangelist of a bygone day, he was traveling to Canada for a preaching engagement. But due to dense fog and his travels out there to the land of Canada, he was going to be late for that engagement. So he prayed that God would take the fog away, and God did that. And thus Muir was able to fulfill his engagement in time. And speaking of that incident to the captain of the ship on which he was on board, he said, "Mine eye is not on the density of the fog, but on the living God who controls every circumstance of life." And he was looking to the Lord. And my, that was indeed the testimony of a man in the 1800s who really prayed in over £1 million to cover the running costs of his orphanages and the needs of thousands and hundreds of children day by day. He was a man who knew God's abundant provision, and he put God to the test, and he did not find God wanting. God provided and met his every need day by day. Brethren and sisters in Christ, take heart today. The Lord has not changed. He says, "I am the Lord, I change not." The Bible speaks of Christ and says, "Jesus Christ, the same yesterday, today, and forever." Notice one final thought here from this great promise. Notice the source of this promise. Look again at what Paul says here in Philippians 4, verse 19. He says, "But my God shall supply all your need according to His riches and glory by Christ Jesus." Notice the mention there of the words "my God" and the mention there of the words "His riches and glory by Christ Jesus." And here we see how God is the reservoir. God is indeed the source of this great promise to supply the needs of His people. And He supplies those needs from His riches and glory, we're told here, by, if you like, through Christ Jesus. He is the only mediator between God and man, the man Christ Jesus. Need commenting here in this little phrase of God's riches and glory. One famous preacher of a bygone day has said these words. They said, "At this point, yes, the preacher must sit down, for he cannot compass this part of the text, for God's riches and glory are beyond all human comprehension." Yes, beyond all human comprehension. Yes, child of God, you and I, we really cannot fathom God's riches and glory. Why? Because they are infinite. You think today, perhaps, child of God, of a glass of water as being an example of all the riches of mankind from the dawn of time. And then you compare that with all the water that there is and all the rivers and all the streams and ponds and oceans and lakes and seas right from the dawn of time right to this very point in time as being, if you like, a very small part indeed, a very minuscule part indeed of God's riches and glory. You know, with that comparison there between the glass of water and indeed the water of every river, lake, and sea and ocean from the dawn of time, it really highlights to you and I something of the vastness of God's riches and glory. There's no limit, there's no lack to the vastness of God's riches and glory. Yes, God's riches are inexhaustible. They cannot be exhausted. The psalmist says in Psalm 24, verse 1, he says, "The earth is the Lord, and the fullness thereof, and they that dwell therein." You notice there that in our text, Paul uses the word according. He says, "My God shall supply all your need according to his riches and glory." In other words, God gives proportionately. He gives in proportion to his vast resources. He is infinitely rich, so he richly gives and gives to his people. Ephesians chapter 3 in the verse number 20, it says there, "Now unto him that is able to do exceeding abundantly, above all that we ask or think, according to the power that worketh in us." Believer in Christ, remember this truth today, that there is no limit to the riches of God in Christ. There's no limit to the riches of God in Christ. Therefore, Christian, he can supply your every need. The psalmist says, and the Lord there is really speaking through the psalmist to his people, he says, "Open thy mouth wide, and I will fill it." In other words, seek him. Bring your needs to him in prayer. The hymn writer says, "All I have needed, thy hand hath provided. Great is thy faithfulness, Lord, unto me." He was rejoicing in the Lord's giving, praising the Lord for the Lord's giving. You notice also there in verse number 19 of Philippians 4, how Paul mentions the words, "by Christ Jesus." Yes, Christ is the mediator of the covenant of grace. By him, yes, our redemption is sure. Therefore, through him, God will supply all our needs. That's the promise here. He'll supply all our needs for our entire Christian life. Turn with me in your Bible back to Romans chapter number 8. Romans chapter number 8, the 8th chapter of the book of Romans, and the verse number 32. Look at what Paul says there. An account of God giving his Son for our redemption, which is the greatest of all gifts, no gift to be compared with that gift. And kind of the giving of a Son for our redemption. Paul here argues that he'll give us the lesser needs as well of our life day by day. He says in Romans chapter 8, verse 32 about God, he says, "He that spared not his own Son, but delivered him up for us all, how shall not with him also freely give us all things?" Because Christ has died. Christ has risen. Christ is alive because of Christ. God in Christ and through Christ will freely give us all things also according to our needs day by day as the people of God. Yes, believer, when you're saved of living for Christ, you can pray. Pray through the merits of Christ's name. And God, the Bible says, will withhold no good thing from you. Oh, brethren and sisters in Christ, as individuals, indeed, as a church, as a congregation, may that be our testimony. May we be those who live for Christ, who live for God, who live for the gospel of Christ. May we depend upon him day by day to meet our every need. Oh, may God write the great promise of this text upon your heart today, child of God, and may it encourage you today and in your time of need to pray. The word of God says, "My God shall supply all your need according to his riches and glory by Christ Jesus." We'll close our meeting this morning by singing together the final hymn in our order of service, 572. "A wonderful Savior is Jesus my Lord, a wonderful Savior to me. He hideth my soul in the cleft of the rock. where rivers of pleasure I see. We'll keep our seats when our sister leads us in the organ, please.
Our Father and our God, we thank thee for thy presence with us here
in thy house this morning. Bless thy word to all our hearts. We thank thee, O God, that we can bring all our needs to thee in prayer and in faith. And Lord, help us as your people day by day to depend upon thee. And may we see thee meeting our needs out of thy riches, O God, in glory, by Christ Jesus. And for any today without salvation, the greatest need of all, Lord, speak to them today. May they come in faith and in repentance and trust Christ. Know the blessing of sins forgiven and the great assurance of eternal life and a home in heaven. Part us with your fear and favor. Take us to our homes in safety. Bless us throughout thy day. Return us again in thy will this evening, we pray. And bless our brother as he comes to testify, we ask in Jesus' precious name. Amen and amen.